Today's scripture reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
It works. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. What a joy and a privilege for all of us to be able to gather together and worship the Lord. Why don't we take a moment before we begin? Why don't we turn to our neighbors sitting next to you and just greet each other once again by saying, Happy Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I bless in the name of the Lord that he will bless you and your family abundantly, and he will fill your life with joy, peace, and thanksgiving. The title of today's sermon is, as you can see, it is In All Circumstances. And you might wonder, in all circumstances, what, right? Well, I'm going to tell you right off the bat. In all circumstances, give thanks. Give thanks. Right? So here is the sermon outline for today. And first, we're going to look at the biblical commands to give thanks to start off. And if we're going to give thanks in everything, in all circumstances, our attitude has to change. So we'll look at that. And finally, how can we give thanks in all circumstances, in everything, right? Well, let me tell you something. There's a family secret that I'm going to be sharing with you today. So, for free of charge, right? So we'll look at these three things as we kind of unpack the scripture that we read together. So what we'll do before we dive into our sermon, we're going to pray together for the word, all right? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, just who you are, that you are our creator, our sustainer, you are our healer, our helper. And so we humbly bow before you with our offering of thanksgiving for the grace that you have shown us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are sinful, broken, and yet, Lord, through your great mercy, we have been washed clean and you have made us new. You have made us righteous for your blood. And now you have gathered us here together, united us through your Son. And so, Lord, as we hear your word, let it penetrate all the barriers that we build up in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, in our lives, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we, as your people, may live with your joy and thanksgiving, that we may glorify you through our lives. And we'll pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, let us first turn our attention to the biblical commands to start off. There are 10 commandments, as you all know. We remember that Moses went up to the Mount Sinai. He received this, commandments from God that was written by God's finger on tablets of stone. And in addition to those 10 commandments, the Jews counted some 613 commandments in the five books of Moses, the Torah we call. So I don't know if you notice, just imagine with me, 613 commands. Wow, that's a lot of do's and don'ts, right? So there are, in addition to those 600 in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, 100 of other commandments in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament that are instructing us how we're to live our lives, right? These commandments are telling us how to live our lives. And so at the same time, we should say, as a side note, that those commandments aren't given to restrict your fun and joy. That's just, I think that's the way non-believers look at Christianity when they look at us. They're like, oh, Christians, you guys have these so many hundreds of thousands, whatever, commands that you guys are supposed to keep. What a bunch of killjoys, right? But that's not true. In fact, God gave you those commandments to protect you, to have joy and fun. Protect your joy and fun, right? And so he says, don't do these, don't do those, because that'll just ruin your life. And so sometimes those commandments are, you know, there for us to, you know, feel convicted and burdensome. I know some of you feel that way, but really, we must delight in God's law, right? For it is God's will, and for us to glorify him. All right, so in the Bible, there are some 67 commands to give thanks. In other words, thanksgiving, if I can put it that way. But what does it mean by thanksgiving? What does that mean? We want to know the definition of thanksgiving, don't we? And its origin, at least, before we go any further, right? So the root of thanksgiving, it comes from the Hebrew word meaning praise. And praise, sorry, it is toda, and it looks like this, right? And where does this come from? It comes from the Hebrew word to praise, right? And praise is yada. Looks like this, very similar, right? So when we give our thanksgiving, it means we are giving praise to God. That's what it means, thanksgiving. Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Now, I truly believe that we must praise God continually. Just like this psalmist who is praising the Lord, we must live a life of praise, a life of thanksgiving. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to be asking a lot of questions along the way today, but do you think that God wants to emphasize that commandment to us? Give me a good nod if you think it is, you know, yes, or just go like that. If you think it's no, yes, yes. Of all the people in the world, we as Christian, we're to worship the Lord, the one true God. And you and I should give thanks because your God, our God, is God. He's creator of all. He made you. He sustains you. He gives you. Gives you what? Gives you health, home, happiness, name it. And all the things. We are blessed. So give thanks. Give thanks. Because that should be our response, right? Now, our problem is that in our generation is that we have this sense of entitlement, especially as modern Christians. We think we deserve all those things, right? If you don't get them, what do? We grumble. It's weird because if we have them or get to do whatever the things that we want to do, we still grumble. Do we not? Nowadays, I can just push this one button on my phone and something from Amazon will come the next day. Isn't that great? Like, that's wonderful how convenient, like, world that we're living in. But we think we're just all entitled to all that. And we just don't give thanks. Think about it. All those things that are around us. Medical care, I mean, think of it where we're at. Doctors. Nowadays, they can heal so many diseases. We have what? Medicine available for us. These so many grocery stores. Which is, you know, just stock full of groceries. If we think about it, we just take it for granted, right? We have so much. Sometimes more than enough. We should give thanks, not just because God commands it, but it should be the overflow of a grateful heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, he says, all scripture is inspired by God. How many of you believe that? Every Bible is inspired by God. The Bible that's sitting on your lap, the Bible that you're holding in your hands, it's all inspired by God. Now, if that's true, since that is true, then the 67 commands in the Bible to give thanks should be held in equal authority with all the rest of the commandments, along with the 10 commandments, which we tend to focus the most. We think of those 10 commandments and go, oh, God, you know, wrote those with his finger on tablets of stone. We better listen to those. Of course, we should. But as authoritative as those 10 commandments is a commandment to you to give thanks. It is your duty, our duty, given by the King himself. Jesus says in John 14, that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Do you love Jesus wholeheartedly? We must obey God's word and give thanks because it's for our good. And it gives him glory. And it's a tangible way for you and I to show our love for the Lord. So when we give thanks, we're saying to God, I love you, God. Thank you so much for all that you have done for me. So by obeying the command to be thankful, we demonstrate through our life. It's a demonstration of our love for God. You know, such thanksgiving can be given when we truly know who God is. And this comes from the belief that God is in control of everything and everything is happening under his sovereignty. And such gratitude can only appear when we have a deep understanding of God's goodness. And without this deep understanding, we can only grumble and complain whenever we face hardship. You know, Israelites in the wilderness, they poured out resentment. They poured out complaints every single time they faced hardship because they didn't have this deep understanding of God's goodness and faithfulness. You know, they always forgot about who God was. They always forgot about God, how he brought them out of Egypt. They always forgot about God's promise that they'll be taken to the promised land. And therefore, there was no joy for them, right? There was no peace. There was no prayer. There was no thanksgiving. And what ended up happening to them? It took them 40 years to get to the promised land. Instead of, it could have been 11 days, right? Even the Thessalonians church in today's scripture was going through tough times. But unlike the Israelites, what Paul wanted them to know and what Paul wanted them to tell them was that it is God who saved them and that God is good and faithful all the time. Paul wanted them to deeply know and believe this truth, not just saying with their lips, but believing deeply with their hearts. About a half a year ago, or half a year before Ave came to us, right? My wife had a miscarriage. At first, we were confused. We were sad. We didn't know what to do. We were disappointed. We were scared, right? But as we were praying for this and asking God why he allowed this to happen to us, God gave us the heart of thanksgiving, heart of hope, heart of peace, rather than the resentment or disappointment. We didn't simply try to be thankful, but we were truly thankful for what God has done for us. Not because what we went through was a joyful experience. No, it was painful. But because of the faith that God always gives us the best. And when he takes it away from us, we know and believe that it's the best for us. And it was not the best for us. And so we were able to remain thankful. And thankfully, God gave us a beautiful son, and we're enjoying him so much. So back to the commandment, the verses that we read together. We want to unpack these, right? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Just going to read once again for all of us. So it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It says, rejoice how often? Can somebody say always? Always? I mean, honestly, when you look in the mirror in the morning, for those of you guys, when you're shaving, or ladies, or putting your makeups on, what do you see? Like, literally, what do you see? Yourself? Duh, right? It's, you see yourself. But my real question is, do you see joy there? Do you see joy? Or do you see a little less than joy? So we just read it, and it says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. I think if we just did that, imagine what a light the church would be to this world. If people really saw the joy of Christ in them, like in us, everything would have, you know, looked different than how things are now. You know, Jesus himself, he says in Hebrews, which is a quote from Psalm, it says, he was anointed with the oil of joy. Anointed with the oil of joy. Jesus Christ, now I don't know if your image of Christ in your mind includes this, but he was the most joyful human being who has ever lived. Joy, I think. You know, when I think about Jesus, right, I think of all kinds of different things, but joy, right, this joy was in him. The greatest joy that you've ever seen was in Jesus. So it says in the book of Luke, chapter 4, when he spoke, there was such graciousness in his words. The multitudes that followed him didn't follow him because he was a good-looking guy. But it says in Isaiah 53 that he had no stately form that we should be attracted to him. He was just an ordinary-looking person. In other words, he looked plain. Not that he's ugly or anything. Why are you laughing? But he was attractive because of this joy of life he had. We think of him driving out the money changers and doing many other things in the Bible, right? Casting out demons. But again, this great joy was in Christ. And if we want to reflect Christ, we must resemble Christ's image, his attributes. We have to have this pure joy, unbridled joy that Jesus had. Then it says, pray continually. Right? When we suffer from various trials and hardships, we tend to be upset without knowing what to do. But when the time of suffering comes, there's one thing that you can do to overcome. Suffering, and that is prayer. That's why Paul in today's scripture says, pray continually. Now, I'm not speaking as passionate as Paul right now, because I'm losing my voice right now, but pray continually. See, prayer is an evidence that we believe in God, and it enables us to conquer suffering and brings us peace. It's an action that we're submitting ourselves to him. When we're oppressed in our circumstances and suffer from hardship, sorrow, and pain, if we kneel down before God and pray, joy, peace, thanksgiving, those things will overflow in our hearts. Of course, suffering is not attractive to anyone. Excuse me. that it will strengthen you, mature you in Christ. What I'm saying is that prayer will help you. When we're broken and repent of our sins and cry out to God, the Holy Spirit will intercede for us. An enormous change will come to us through God's answer to our prayer. And so we must sow the seeds of joy and thanksgiving when going through the tunnel of sufferings by praying. James chapter 5, verse 13, it says, if any of you are suffering, they should pray. You should pray continually. And thanksgiving, says, give thanks in all circumstances. In everything, give thanks. In all circumstances, give thanks. For the bad stuff? No. But during the bad stuff. We're not giving thanks that I got a bad diagnosis from the doctor. No. You don't thank God for the evil, wicked things that are all around you. But we're giving thanks that God's sovereign and in control. Right? You're giving thanks to Him that is sustaining you in the middle of all that you're going through. You know, there's a big difference. It's in all circumstances, not for circumstance. In all circumstances. What do? We give thanks. So I had a vacation for the past about 3 weeks, and before anything, I am very thankful for the opportunity to take a break from the ministry as much as was needed. And so some of you know, my parents went to Korea for just a little over 2 weeks. And there we stayed at my parents' place, and everyone, you know, as you can imagine, so happy, especially my parents who met Abe for the first time ever since he was born. So, you know, they just couldn't stop smiling as they were, you know, spending time with Abe, right? So this is, oh, you can really see that. Well, but this is my parents with Abe. By the way, my dad, he's so cool. He actually made that pink swing from scratch out of this wooden pallet, wherever he got that from. I don't know how he did that, but, and so like when I first saw that, I was half jokingly saying to him, Dad, like, you should become a professional carpenter, like just like Jesus before he began his ministry. And he's like, maybe I should. And so he laughed. But because of this love that they had for Abe, they just wanted to do something for him. They bought these clothes. My mom, she cooked. Obviously, she cooked for us as well, you know. So we got to spend some good times. Again, my mom, she made some delicious food. And as you can easily tell by my physical body shape, how I got, I gained so much weight. You know, it's a proof that she made some good, delicious food, you know. Just the food, full of joy. Everyone's having a great time, lots of laughter. We try to cherish and embrace, you know, just every single moment that we got to spend together. I would say everything about our trip to Korea was perfect until this one major concerning thing that I heard from my dad as I was having a conversation with him when no one was around. I know my dad didn't mean to say it on purpose, you know, because he wasn't supposed to say it. Later I found out it's been a secret the whole time, but my dad shared to me, I guess unintentionally, like by accident, that my mom recently has been diagnosed with thyroid cancer and that she has to go undergo surgery soon. Matter of fact, you know, despite the doctor's recommendation and the scheduled date, she postponed it. Just because we were visiting them. And because she didn't want to make us worry, they, you know, she decided not to tell us. They never told us, right? And so as soon as I heard that, like, I instantly burst into tears, thinking that it can't be true. You know, my mom, she's the healthiest and strongest woman I know in this world, and it couldn't be true. I ran out to cry out loud. Like, I just couldn't stay there. I just literally went out to cry alone in my parents' backyard. It's like the world has stopped. There was all these beautiful trees, flowers, and the sunshine that were surrounding me. Suddenly, all became dark. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you ever experienced that kind of feeling. I was going, why? God, why is this happening to our family? You know, she's been faithfully serving for her whole life. What has she done wrong to you? What are you trying to achieve through this? You know, you made my father go through cancer 3 years, 15 years ago, and you want our family to go through this again? These are good people. Not speaking, you know, just from their son's point of view, but these are good people who are trying to do your work. What have they done wrong to you, but serving you for their life? I went to my mom, gave her a big hug. And I didn't try to cry, like I try not to, you know, cry, but I ended up crying on her shoulder. I go, Mom, why didn't you tell me? She goes, don't cry. No one's going to die. I'm not going to die. In fact, you're not going to believe what she said. In fact, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that, you know, I was able to find this tumor early. She said she's thankful for not having a larger tumor. Right? She's thankful for being able to take some time, you know, to have a little break from her ministry. She wasn't trying to act tough in front of her son or in front of her daughter-in-law or anything, but she was actually thankful and confident. And I was so encouraged and challenged. I was like, wow, what a great faith she has in God. But at the same time, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm going, Mom, are you okay? She's like, this is nothing. God is going to heal me. God is going to kill me. I was like, Mom, you need to go to the hospital. Reschedule this, you know, surgery. To be honest, I'm still worried. But again, at the same time, I'm thankful for her. Thankful for her, audacious faith that she has in God, that she's keeping in God. I'm extremely thankful for her for just being and showing me an example of true Christian that we must all be. Our scripture today in New Century Version is written this way: always be joyful, pray continually, and give thanks whatever happens. This is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. Now, even though I don't have it up there in the slide, but the International Reader's Version puts it this way: always be joyful, never stop praying, give thanks no matter what happens. This is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. We must give thanks whatever happens. No matter what happens in our lives. You know, I really had to remind myself that many, many times. Like, I really had to chew those verses for myself. When there are things that we don't understand that happen in our lives, the commandment still for us is to rejoice always, pray continually, and most importantly, give thanks. Whatever happens, no matter what. Amen? Then, the last part of this just nails the shot. Says, for this is God's will. You know, we spend a lot of time wondering, what's God's will for my life? And it's right here, spelled out for you. Rejoice always, pray continually in all circumstances, give thanks. And I really believe that if we just keep these basic commandments, all the other stuff will just fall in place. You know, a lot of times we're wondering which school to go, who to marry, which car to buy, things like that. All these things that we're wanting, Like, what's your will, God? And God is saying, I'll take you there. No. What I want you to do is, I just want you to focus on these basic commandments that I have given you. I'll take care of everything else. You just obey to my commandment, right? I mean, the Christian life just simplifies everything. So we rejoice always, pray continually in all circumstances, give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to know that this is only for those that are in Christ. This is impossible, or at least it's not as easy as you think it is. If you're not in Christ, like apart from his strength, you simply cannot do it. But if you are in Christ, you can do it. God never commands us to do the stuff that we cannot do in Christ. So, again, what he wants you to do is, he wants you to capture every moment. You know, we have to be, you know, intentional about this, right? It's not going to just happen by itself, right? But we really have to think about these all the time, actively. So, are we really supposed to give thanks in all circumstances? Here's the key. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, which means, you know, stays attached to me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It's only in Christ that I can give thanks in everything and in all circumstances. But if we're not in him, we're not abiding in him, we cannot do anything. We can do nothing. Remember, I can do all things through him. It's only in Christ that we can do these things. So, here's a question. The commandment that's written here, it's written by who? Thank you. It's written by Apostle Paul. And did Paul actually understand how difficult life can be? Did he actually understand what he was talking about? The answer is yes. So I put together just a little resume of Paul's trial. He says this. This is the description of, you know, description that he gives of his life, right? So here they are. So he fought, not going to go over all of them. He fought wild beasts, you know, whipped 39 lashes, not just once, but five times, beaten with rods, stones, shipwrecked three times. One of those times he was holding onto the pieces, you know, the shipwrecked sheep in the sea. All the dangers from his own people, and then his life ends up, he gets beheaded. In the middle of all these things that he was going through, he was like, give thanks. Like, what? Okay. Paul was in prison several times in Philippi, Caesarea for 2 years, and twice in Rome, in each time for 2 years, where he wrote prison epistles. And he makes this statement, give thanks. Like, while he's in prison, right? Who does that? The question is, did he actually practice what he was telling people to do, you know, telling us to do? In every circumstance, give thanks to the Lord. Well, here's one example that I can recall of. Paul and Silas in Philippi, they were singing praises to God, right? Thanksgiving, praises in prison. Like, wow, how do you do that? How do you do that? Do you think you can give thanks, praise God when you're in prison? Like, it's clearly not a natural response. We would have to say it's supernatural, right? But you know, they were able to do that because they were in Christ. They were abiding in Christ. Only in Christ they were able to do that. And only in Christ we can also respond this way too. Philippians
1 of the books in the prison epistles, written by Paul again in prison in Rome, he says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So Paul, he knew what he was talking about, right? He practiced it. He was practicing what he preached. For the Christians, Thanksgiving is more than one day a year. If that's all that is, then people aren't going to see the light of Christ in you, in us. But again, it's only in Christ that we can begin to cultivate the new attitude of gratitude. So finally, this is what you've been waiting for from the beginning. You know, here's the secret that I mentioned. How do we do this? How do we give thanks in all circumstances? What's the secret? The secret is, here it is. Romans chapter 8, 28. It says, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen. It's saying all things that are happening to you, everything's meant to be good. I had to find a good example for this from the Bible. So here's a good example. This is actually Romans chapter 8, 28 of the Old Testament. So here's Joseph, his brothers. What did they do? He sold his little brother for money, right? The oldest brother was like, let's throw Joseph in the pit. Let's earn some money off of our little brother. So they sold their little brother. You all remember the whole story, right? Joseph eventually rises to second in command under Pharaoh in Egypt. And then what happens is that many years later, his father sends his brothers to come and ask for a seed for grain in Egypt because there was a famine throughout the whole Middle East. And so when they encounter Joseph, first time in so many years, they don't recognize Joseph, but Joseph was able to immediately recognize them. Oh, they're my brothers. I remember those guys. And then finally, Joseph said, you know, hey, guess what? I'm your brother, Joseph. At first, they didn't believe it. And then a little later, they were like, oh my goodness, he is Joseph. We're all dead. But here's the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. It says this. What you meant evil against me. There's no question about that, right? You meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. You know, God caused that for good because God could have easily stopped that from the beginning. God could have just said, you cannot sell Joseph. Don't do that. Do not mistreat him. He's my anointed servant. Do not mistreat him. Right? But God meant it for good after all. Like ultimately. So this is what I learned as well. You know, which I think it's very hopeful and important for all of us to be reminded of. And that is, if you're going to give thanks, you are going to hold on to this. You're going to believe with all your heart that God is meaning what you're going through. God is meaning everything that you're going through. And I know some of you are just really going through some dark days. Life is just hard right now. I guess, what can I say to you? Hang in there. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Because what you're going through is not meaningless. God never does anything without purpose, right? You and I may not understand God's way, but just know that God is always only good. And what's happening to you and I right now, it's for your good, it's for our good, and for His glory. Brothers and sisters, God has given us more than just a command, but He's given us the reason to give thanks in all circumstances. And the reason is that, you know, He's causing everything, like everything, to work together for your good, for your eternal good. And we must obey that command as good citizens of heaven. Some of you still might be like, I don't understand how that's good for me. Do you even know what I'm going through right now? I don't get that. But let me tell you this. I don't want you to understand the whole mysteries of God. But again, I just want you to know that God is only good to us. He's always only good to us. And I truly believe that one day, maybe 10,000 years later, from now on, when we look back at this life, we'll say, oh my goodness, I never thought all this would come out of that. I didn't know that wouldn't turn out this way. Man, God had a plan. Everything makes sense. Oh, that was why. Because you simply don't know what God is doing right now. But again, He's doing it for good. He's doing everything for good. Abe, my son, he turned one. He's 1 year old now. This Wednesday. It's actually so awesome to think about because last year when I was up here for the first time before you, I remember introducing Abe by saying, you know, how he's 1 month and 2 days old. Isn't that so cool? My time is going so fast. It's already been a year. So for those of you who haven't had the chance to meet Abe yet, for whatever the reason, this is him. 1 year later, he's so big. I think he's a little cute in this picture. That's why I chose this picture. That's in Korea, by the way. We thought that we couldn't celebrate his 1 year birthday in Canada, and so excited to, you know, do a birthday party in Korea. But anyhow, this is how he looks now. He loves coming to church, especially to the nursery room, because that's where all the, you know, toys that he likes to play with are. But if you see him in person, you'll probably go, oh. These are some of the reactions that he gets, like all the time. Oh, he's so cute. I know. Isn't he seriously cute? Like, trust me, he is cute. But what I'm trying to share with you is that about a half year ago, we took him to, you know, get him shots, you know, a couple of shots, those immune shots that babies get once in a while, every once in a while, I should say. So when Jessica and I took him to get him shots, Abe goes, you know what he does? Like, he becomes full of curiosity mode. Like, every time we go out together, he gets all excited, you know. What he does is he kicks both of his legs in the air, like, that's how he expresses his excitement. And so when we go out, he's like just wandering around, like, you know, waving at people sometimes, smiling at people, those random strangers on the street. He has no idea. Like, he tries to talk, right? He's like, blah, 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 blah. I have no idea what he's, you know, trying to tell us. But he goes, hey, smiley face. Now, what he doesn't know is that he has no idea what's going to happen to him. Right? And then when this fat needle went in his chubby leg, that hey, like smiley face turned into yeah, really fast, right? If you look at me and Jessica, allowing the pain to enter into A's body, would you judge us as bad parents? Probably not. Hopefully not. I mean, I feel bad. I feel sorry for him, like sorry for lying that happened to him. Seriously, like when he cries, it makes me sad. It breaks my heart. But we're doing this for A's benefit, for his health, for his good. But in his limited understanding, all he understands and all he sees is the pain that he feels. He can't, in his one-year-old brain, know that we're doing this so that it'll help him in the long term. Right? I'm sharing this with you because likewise, you see, God is more concerned for your long-term, the eternal welfare than your short-term suffering. Even though we kind of wish he was concerned about both, right? But sometimes we need this discomfort in our life to move us on in our sanctification, to keep us moving toward his glory. I'm going to wrap up the sermon with these short summarized points. If the commandment of your king is to give thanks, we must obey his word and abide in him. And we have to demonstrate our love and thanksgiving for the Lord. And we do it because God is working everything out for his good, or your good, our good. So church, it is my hope and my prayer for you and your family that wherever you go in the world, you will always give thanks and give glory to God. Let's rejoice always, pray continually, and most importantly, give thanks in all circumstances. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your commandment. Lord, help us to be joyful in your word, as your commandments are for our good and for your glory. So help us to remind ourselves that you love us and that you are good and you work everything good. Father, we cannot do these in our own strength, but we can do all things in you. So help us to seek you as we abide in you and give you thanks in all circumstances, today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.